Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. on calbanyan.com. All right. Let's see. Who is this podcast for? It's for hypnotists or hypnotherapists or consulting hypnotists or hypnosis professionals, whatever you want to call yourself. And you know what? I'll tell you what. We're going to help you. Either help you decide how to get into the profession if you're not already there, or raise yourself up into the profession. And at the very least, we're going to give you a nugget or two that you can use in your very next session, or to raise your own hypnosis practice to make it more organized or more professional, or whatever needs to be done. All right, let's see here. All right, oh, look at this. Look at this. I have Brenda back. And Brenda, she's brilliant. She previously worked in the rape crisis intervention field profession. She's got a bachelor's degree in sociology, an MA in criminology. She's presented at the National League of Hypnotists. She does a great job at our center supervising practice sessions and speaking. She does her little speech at our training here at the Tustin Hypnosis Center. And let's see here. She sees gobs and gobs of clients. She's really a person that doesn't just talk the talk. She walks the walk. She's a full-time professional hypnotist. She's a five-pather and a true believer. And she's brought this new, something we haven't talked about a lot, this new topic of something that is an old topic, but a new topic for us, and that is smoking cessation. How you doing there, Brenda?
I'm doing great, Cal. Thank you so much for having me today. And let me introduce you all to Cal Banyan. Cal is the hypnosis celebrity and, quite frankly, authority in hypnosis that works. Cal has received every award in the profession given by the National Guild of Hypnotists, one of the oldest organizations in the United States for hypnosis. And Cal's books, Hypnosis and Hypnotherapy, as well as The Secret Language of Feelings, have really been models in, especially, like I said, hypnosis that works. Cal brings us five-path hypnotherapy, where he really synthesized a lot of the important elements of hypnosis, bringing together a process so that we can all actually learn from him or learn from his trainer, so that we can all do great work and do the kind of hypnosis that works and really help people overcome challenges. And Cal is the trainer of some of the best of the best of the profession. And he's one of those people that experts in the field really truly go to for guidance and training, support. Cal teaches, writes, does public events, and appearances. Obviously, he's a trainer as well. He'll be coming and doing some training upcoming soon at Solid Gold, and I'm sure next summer at the NGH convention as well. He's usually a very popular speaker there as well. And Cal has had a really great effect on me in my practice, obviously being a five-path hypnotherapist. And really helping be a leader in the profession, bringing these videos to you, almost 500 videos on a variety of topics, whether it's, you know, hypnosis techniques, business, marketing, motivation, or today, you know, I theoretically think about this as a little bit of a back to the basics, except that I have some questions, very experienced hypnotist, but I have some questions on behalf of myself and some other people about smoking cessation that we're going to talk about. So today we get to pick his brain on smoking cessation. But before we start that, anything you'd like to add, Cal?
Well, you know, one of the things that's, you know, there's two things that are like the bread and butter of hypnotists, and that is smoking cessation and weight loss. And so it's so important that when I do my training, the 10-day certification course or the 7-day Week of Power Advanced is, you know, we teach them how to do five path for everything. But then we also give everybody a recording of me talking specifically about smoking cessation and another recording of me talking specifically about weight loss and applying five path to both of those situations, because I don't want that information to fall out of their head. I want to feel extremely confident in working with those two very important issues. So fire away.
All right. Well, and actually, actually, that is some of the thing that I thought was really interesting is that recently, now this idea came to me because I confess I've been having a little frustration with some of my smokers lately, and so I've been adjusting and fine-tuning some of how I approach even actually booking, explaining my process, and being very present with my clients as I'm moving forward as well. So some of this came to me through my own experiences where I was just feeling like a little frustrated actually with some of my smoking cessation programs. But the other part was exactly what you just said, Cal. People consider this some of the bread and butter of the hypnosis field, something that we want people to be starting out with, having great tools right off the bat. But somehow, recently I was reading a five-pathers message, and somebody, it was a new five-pather, and they had said that they'd received a referral for their first client, and it was actually a real challenging type of issue. And she said, "I wish my first client had been something easy like smoking." And I thought, oh gosh. Only because in where I'm sitting right now hasn't been quite so easy. So I wanted to kind of think about first, really, Cal, thinking about if you could help us. Like I said, we're going back to basics on a couple of these questions. When we say weight loss and smoking cessation are kind of those bread and butter topics. They're something that everybody, you know, needs to have in their wheelhouse. But I'm curious, because I don't see many smokers, or even they're not actually my automatic, most common things. But why is that smoking is considered one of those very common issues that hypnotists need to be prepared for?
Well, you know, I don't know exactly why. I would just say that probably, and I'd have to guess, it's not really that important to me why it's something that people would seek services for. But I think there's just been a lot of marketing by people who want to do that to, in the last 10 to 20 years, there's been this great movement away from smoking, and hypnotists saw this, and it's something they knew they could help with, so they just put the word out. And if we could do that as a profession about more things, but people have now accepted the idea that hypnosis is a viable strategy or approach to quitting smoking.
Great. That sounds like a good, it's definitely one of those things that, for me is a little bit of a chicken and the egg. You know, people always talk about, actually most people that I meet assume that I, spend all my day with smokers. And I was kind of like, no, actually not really, because I do this, that, and the other thing. There's so many other things that I really focus on within hypnosis. And of course, I live in a state where, smoking, no matter where you go, there are smokers and people who are interested in smoking cessation. And it's so fascinating to me because there are hypnotists out there that I've met or seen who their entire career, that is actually all that they do. I mean, that's their specialty. It's what they've made their career on. So I just thought that was a very interesting kind of thing. And I wanted to see if you had any thoughts on why that was, either through...
Well, let me say one thing. As I think that if you're basing your career on stop smoking, that's going to be a waning career, because less and less people are starting to smoke, and so less and less people are going to be quitting smoking. It's going to be interesting to see how this vaping phenomenon works out over time, because I think people will get, stuck on that. And we'll eventually want to stop doing that. We don't know if it's going to be something that becomes very common, 10 years from now, or if it's just a fad that comes in and out. And we don't know all the health ramifications of vaping yet. And so, what's vaping? It's in case you don't know or ever heard of vaping, I don't know a lot about it, but I know it's a, quote, smokeless way to get nicotine or to not get nicotine, to just have something to do. Some people use it for marijuana, and so there's and some people just do it with no nicotine, no marijuana, just to inhale these oils, fragrant oils and stuff like that. And so we may see a lot of what the skills we've learned for smoking cessation go for vaping cessation. So it's something to think about.
That is such a great point. You know, actually, I thank you for mentioning that. So good things to be thinking about. Now, when we think about, you know, as 5-pathers, especially, just like you said, Cal, we are trained in 2 smoking cessation types of programs. We have the 5-path model, which is where we're really getting down to that underlying cause, underlying thoughts and feelings, beliefs, emotions that are driving the behavior. But then, as you said, we're also taught a 2-session program, really focusing more on habit change. Maybe might be something that people consider less, you know, therapeutic. You're not dealing with, you know, underlying causes and things like that. And some people do a single session, boom, you know, actually get people, well, I get people all the time who are comparing, you know, trying to decide between me with a single session on pretty much any issue. But especially with those smokers, I always say, you know, I definitely don't do a single session. But so, Cal, could you kind of talk a little bit about, you know, you'd started the episode a bit about that, a little bit about, you know, sending people off after graduation with the 2-session as well as the 5-path type of approach. Can you talk about the varying philosophies around the 2 different approaches that you really work with?
Okay, so let's get some things kind of straight. Most hypnotists work at a direct suggestion level only, and for whatever issue they're working on. So smoking would be no different. And they would have someone come in and they do their induction script, their deepening script, and their stop smoking script, and then their emerging script, and then say, goodbye. And some will succeed, some will fail. The ones that succeed, when they find out you're a hypnotist, they'll tell you about it. I am really not at all enthralled with any kind of hypnosis that involves 1 session. My background and training is in psychotherapy, and there was never a psychotherapeutic model where you do 1 session. It would be unethical, it'd be irresponsible, because, you know, we owe it to the client to be with them until they've reached their goal. And if you just hypnotize someone and send them away, then I think that's not the highest professional ideal, to put it that way. The other thing is, some people will say, okay, yeah, I agree with you, Cal, and I'm going to hypnotize them every week until they quit. And that will work better than 1-shot deal. And they just keep coming back until they quit. Now, and just doing direct suggestion hypnosis. The other kind of modified in between is you do the 1 session and then you give them a CD or other kind of audio program and say, listen to this every day for 30 days or until you quit. And you know what? There can be some success with that. I did not get in this profession to work at that level. The problem is as a professional hypnotist, we sink or swim by reputation. If you are getting people to their goals, whatever it is, stop smoking, weight loss, fear of heights, relationship issues, and I could go on and on and on and on, then that goes out in your community. Yeah, you'll get good third-party ratings, like Google has a way to rate businesses, Yelp has a way to rate businesses, and it'll go on and on. So everything you do must be built for the long term. Unless you're the hypnotist that you make money by advertising in the newspaper, showing up at the hotel, and then going to another town, advertise in the newspaper, show up at the hotel, do your hypnosis, and you're just like this traveling hypnotist, then your success is not built by how successful you are, but how many people you can get in the room, what are your marketing skills. So, but most of us are the hometown hypnotist. We stay in one place. And so we must get success. So as when we first opened, there was a lot of people around us doing these 1-session hypnosis deals. And, you know, some people be successful and some people are not successful. And the problem with that is it has a negative impact not just on the individual, but on the hypnosis community at large. If people are trying hypnosis and it doesn't work, they tell their friends it doesn't work, and it's just bad, bad, bad. So, as I developed 5-PATH, and 5-PATH, goes after the cause, and it gets rid of the emotional issues. Plus, it provides insight. Plus, it creates hypersuggestibility. And so, these things where we can, approach 100% success. And then that's good for the profession, it's good for us. But the problem was, we had these one session wonders out there, and then we had us, which were more of a therapeutic approach. And I said, I had to think about this. I wanted to help people, but I wanted to have a really high degree of success. And as I was working with people, I had this discovery. And the discovery is, some smokers are mostly habit. They smoke mostly out of habit. And other smokers, it's mostly as a way of handling their emotions. What do smokers do when they get frustrated? What do smokers do when they're lonely? What do smokers do when they're angry? What do smokers do when they're depressed? Smoke, 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 right? And so what I had to do is create a triage where I'm going to send some people into a rapid hypnosis cessation program, and then the others into the full 5-PATH therapeutic approach. So what we did is we started asking a couple of questions before we booked the appointment. We're going to ask them, have you ever tried to quit smoking before? Now, one thing I want you to realize before I go one step further is most people stop smoking on their own. Without the gum, without the pill, without the hypnotist, most people quit, 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 quit until they get sick and tired of quitting, and finally they're done. Okay? So, there's a side effect to that. You see, the people who are mostly habit, then they just quit. But the people who are emotional smokers, that we see, there's this process that's going on. They have a feeling inside they don't like. It could be an old feeling, or it could be something that's going on in their life now. And they've got this pattern of distract. Do something else besides feel the feeling. Feel bad, distract. Get angry, smoke. Lonely, smoke. Frustrated, smoke. Sad, smoke. And so on. Feel bad, distract cycle. And if we remove the cigarettes, which is helping them cope with their emotions, then what happens is they'll just find another distractor. What's the most common side effect of quitting smoking? Gaining weight. So it's just feel bad, eat, feel bad, eat, feel bad, eat. And I have an old saying that I live by. If you can't afford to do it right, then you can't afford to do it. And the only way we should be doing work is the most ethical way we can come up with. And so if I have someone call the office, we're going to ask them a few questions. And the questions are going to be like, have you ever quit smoking before? And if they say yes, and almost everybody, nobody, the very first time they try to quit smoking calls the hypnotist. I mean, that's probably 0.01%. So everybody says yes. And then we say, what was that like for you? If they say, well, I don't know, I just, thought about it for a while, but I just take my mind off something else. Okay? They didn't gain weight. They didn't have a lot of emotional outbursts. They just kind of got on with their life. That's the habitual smoker. Then if they answer the, what was that like for you, with things like, well, I gained weight, I cried a lot, I was very hard to be around, my family said, please stop, please start smoking again, right? Well, that's an emotional smoker. When you took away the distractor, the cigarette, the thing they can do instead of feeling the feeling, then they're left feeling the feeling. And so the sadness, the anger, the fear, the frustration comes up. So now we have two groups of people. The emotional smoker, they go into 5-PATH. But the one that's a habitual smoker, I developed a special 2-session version for them. And one is the first session, we're going to do phase one, which is preparation, testing, and convincing. It means get do the preparation, like pre-talk. You're going to hypnotize to the level of somnambulism. You're going to covertly test for somnambulism. And then you're going to convince them with using a convincer. Same as the first phase of 5-PATH. Then we're going to do direct suggestion work. And we're going to use hypnosis scripts. And some of my favorite are like the high road, low road script. You can look that up. I probably put a link down below. In combination with other hypnosis scripts. Emerge, send them on their way, and you want to see them in 3 to 7 days. Like if you can see them twice in a week, that's awesome. But if you got to wait till next week, don't stretch it out to 10 days. Get them in 6-7 days. And then what we want to do, we're going to do a special age regression process I developed. We don't regress to ISE. Because if we regress to ISE, then we're going to the cause of emotions and stuff like that. And this is a habitual smoker. What we want them to do is to experience a deep level of insight and disgust with the cigarette. And so what we're going to do is we're going to regress them to their first cigarette. And then, so this is like the symptom-producing event if you're an age regression certified person. Then you understand there's ISEs, initial sensitizing event, and then sometime later is the symptom-producing event. And that in smoking would be the time they decided they wanted to smoke and having those first cigarettes. And what we're going to do is we're going to find that moment, we're going to find out why do they want to smoke, and then we're going to have the grown-up aspect go back and talk to them. You see, that young 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old individual is listening to nobody. Everyone told them smoking's a bad idea, but they get this idea, well, maybe it's not a bad idea for me. Maybe there's some benefit. Well, the only person they'll listen to is themselves. So we bring the grown-up aspect of themselves back to that time, to before they have that first cigarette, and crush those beliefs. To crush those beliefs that, oh, I'm going to benefit from smoking in some way. And then we run them through the event of having that first cigarette without believing that it's going to do them any good, which is false beliefs. And then they hate it. It's just, it's disgusting for them. And we do, you know, I can't teach that whole class here in 5 minutes. But that's what we do. We needed to come up with a more rapid way of doing it because there were so many people out there doing 1 or 2 sessions. So I decided, let me look at this. Is there part of the group of people that come to stop smoking that would still be able to quit without going through the entire 5-PATH process? And I said, yes, there is. And I developed this 2-session process. Now, if at the end of 2 sessions, they are not quit, then we would take them into the 5-PATH process. How's that, Brenda?
That sounds great, Cal. And I appreciate you going through and explaining kind of where, how you came up with that idea and, you know, kind of parsing that out a little bit more. Because, you know, I realized that, you know, one of the challenges that I had for a while was that if I misassessed, if I, you know, started somebody with my 2-session program with the expectation that, well, if we need more sessions, then I wouldn't have them in my calendar, or the client would, you know, potentially be frustrated if we couldn't do it in the 2 sessions, you know, and you can't know if they're a habit smoker, or, you know, fully, you can't fully know and assess how they're going to do, you know, you do your best with your assessment, but I definitely got kind of, you know, frustrated on one level, and I got frustrated on another, and so recently that was kind of why I thought, okay, I'm just going to start going back to basics, really, you know, talking to you today about that. And one of the things that I'm realizing is that I need to do some shifts and changes in terms of how I schedule or I even approach explaining my process so that I can, you know, be more prepared for the fact that, you know, okay, let's, you know, we can, you know, start with the 2-session process if that's appropriate, but really setting up, you know, we want to be sure that you quit for real, for good. Let's make it happen. So this actually helps me kind of think through some things. So thank you for that, Cal. And I also think,
let me get a couple more tips in here if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One of the things that I got from Don Motton, who's a great direct suggestion hypnotist, is and I use this with my smokers. I would say, have you ever, now this is in session, right? They've now been put in what, either the two session version or the five path version of our stopping smoking cessation program. And while they're at my desk, I'm going to say, have you ever tried to stop smoking before? And they'll almost always universally say, well, yeah. And I say, what's the longest you've ever gone trying to quit on your own without a cigarette? And they'll say anywhere from a day to 3 days to 6 months, a year, whatever. And I'll say, are you willing to bring that kind of effort and that kind of motivation to what we're about to do? Because if you are, then we know that you, just put on your own effort, you can quit for X number of days, weeks, or whatever, you see? And if they're not willing to bring that kind of effort, I might ask them if now's the right time to be doing it. But let's say they said, yeah, I quit for 6 months once. Well, are you willing to bring that kind of effort to this process? Because hypnosis can make it easier, but it may still require some effort. And that greatly increases the probability of your success. Another thing I learned from Dom Otten was, he says, tell his clients, you need to have the proper expectation upon as you work with them. And you can say something like this. You know, we generally have three different kinds of experiences after our program or after the first session. And that is, some people, after the first session, it's like they never ever smoke. They don't think about it. They don't yearn for it. It's just like, bam, it's something they used to do. The other expectation that we want them to have is sometimes the hypnosis made it easier to quit. I mean, they think about smoking, they go, oh, no, I don't do that anymore. And so they think about it for a while, and then they quit. And the third one is they may have to work at it, just like I talked about, bringing in the same kind of effort that they brought last time or the longest time they tried to quit on their own. And you throw, it doesn't take very long to put that in. And this is in the pre-hypnosis interview before you hypnotize them. And you want to get those kind of positive response. If they're going, well, I don't know if I can really try, then you know what? You don't want to work with this person because they're just not ready yet. And they want you to do all the work. And you really want to make this more of a partnership, that you're working on the smoking cessation together. Is that helpful, Brenda?
That is great. Yeah, those were the last couple of points that I really wanted to make sure that we were talking about, which is that, you know, people, even whatever great pre-talk we can do, people still are expecting some magic wand, and they expect it to be easy. And we have to, you know, be sure that they understand they are the ones who are going to have to be putting forth the effort. We're here to help them, but they're going to have to follow through and make it happen. So really being talking about their motivation, their willingness to put forth the effort, talking to them about the timing of their sessions, you know, if it's during the holidays and there's a big stressor or a big, you know, big project due at work or something like that, you know, really make sure that this is going to be a time that they can put forth that effort and get the support as well. And my last thing I want to remind everybody is to be very clear about what your session policies are, your cancellation policy, your fee policy, fee structure, and all of that, to be very clear so that there's no surprises for you or for your client. And then I think just really, you know, letting them know, you know, you're going to do everything that you can, but you expect them to do everything that they can to help them be successful. So those are some lessons learned, and thank you so much, Cal, for letting us talk about these things. Like I keep saying, you know, with 500 episodes almost out there, you know, it's kind of interesting. I don't know that we've ever really talked about smoking cessation. I know I've been on for 4 years I've been around for, you know, the last, since episode 300, and I don't believe we've ever talked about this. So I think it was just something that I thought, wow, as I'm, you know, realizing it's something I want to tackle and be more effective with, I'm glad that we were able to talk about that today. And I hope that it was helpful for all of you out there. So I'm going to sign off. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to leave them down below. You can always keep in touch with me at Brenda@OCHypnotherapy.com as well. And have a great week, everyone.
Thank you so much, Brenda. Hey, you know, there's a couple really important things. Once again, Solid Gold Weekend, National of Hypnotists Solid Gold Weekend. If you want more details about that, I'll have a link below. You can go to ngh.net. They're going to have more speakers than just me. I'm going to be talking about the time tunneling technique for breakthrough. And then also, once again, our very last, it's going to be a full class, so you want to, if you're going to enroll, you need to do it right away, and that is January 9th through the 20th here in Tustin, California, our last class in California. And then we've already scheduled our first class in Plano, Texas, April 10th to the 21st, and in both those cases, the weekend off in the middle. So last class, January 9th through the 20th. Next class, or very first class in Plano, Texas, is April 10th through the 21st. I want to see you in class. All right, that's it for now. Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.